Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Praise Him. Thank you, God. You done for me what I couldn't do for myself. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, we're going to get back into the Beatitudes today. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. That's right. A Beatitude's a whole lot better than a buzzard attitude. How many's ever messed up on a cell phone? You thought you understood somebody's number that they called out, and it wasn't the same number that they called out. I mean, I've done that right many times. I thought I was calling the right person, and I wasn't. Well, Debbie punched in her boyfriend's new number, and a woman answered. Is Mike there? Asked Debbie, confused. He's in the shower, the woman responded. Well, tell him his girlfriend called, Debbie said, and hung up. When he didn't return the call, Debbie dialed again. This time the man answered. This is Mike, he said. You're not my boyfriend, exclaimed Debbie. I know, he replied. I've been trying to tell my wife that for the past half hour. Oops. How many in here would like to be able to have a do-over? I'm not talking about going to get makeup job. I'm not talking about that, because I'd love to, you know, put on places and take off other places and maybe, you know, increase and decrease in different places. I'm not talking about that. But how many would actually say, there's things in my life that I did even recently. Come on, church folk. Even recently that I wish I had not done. Amen? Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, we talked about B1 week before last. We're going to talk about B2 this week. And it's going to be, blessed are those who mourn. How many's ever mourned? Well, you're going to be surprised when you find out what this word mourn means in the Greek. All right? Matter of fact, we'll get into it in a second. Y'all stand up. Y'all stand up and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to talk about mourning. And the more I studied this, the more I said, wow, this is giving me a whole different outlook on things. And the way God did it, the order that He did it, is really amazing, because last time we talked about humility, and now we're talking about mourning. All right, Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes that went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, that's humility. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that we serve such a powerful and a loving God. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way. I ask you, Lord, to help us open our eyes to the Beatitudes, Lord, in a new way, a fresh way, Lord, that we don't just say, that's just written a long time ago. No, it was written for today's purpose, for this service, this day. We know, Lord, that none of us are here by accident. God, we've come here for the specific purpose. And Lord, I thank you, God, that part of that purpose is to get involved and engaged in your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. You know, I was praying for a guy in prison the other night. And he said, I need you to pray for me. Of course, he was in behavioral management. You can see why, because he actually was acting kind of crazy. But he said, God's been picking on me. He says, matter of fact, God has just come in here and just tantalizes me and picks on me. And I said, he said, can you pray for me? And when I went to pray for him, I said, right to start with, help this young man to understand that our God is a powerful God. And our God is a good God. And our God is a loving God. And that he would not be in here tantalizing and picking on this man. When God does something for us, he's doing it for our good. He's doing it so that we can actually come out ahead. How many want to come out ahead? Amen? That's what it's all about. Amen? Well, we're going to talk about B2, blessed are they who mourn. And again, we're going to do it a little bit different. It's not talking about the Boyd family today. When we go to that funeral, I know there's going to be some mourning going on there. That is not what the scripture is talking about. It can be inclusive in it, but that's not what it's zeroing in on. So, the second step to happiness is repentance. So watch this. Vitamins are beneficial. B vitamins have been used for years to improve your energy, or give you energy, improve your outlook, and help you build your strength. God gives us some B vitamins to give us energy, to improve our outlook, and to help us build strength, and they're called the Beatitudes. Amen? Somebody say the Beatitudes are beautiful attitudes. Somebody say that. I think so too. Amen. I'm glad y'all said that. Watch this. Have you ever wanted to do ever? I mean, just scratch the plate clean, scratch the wall clean, and say, it's not up there. You know, in first grade, I found out in first grade, how many in first grade they gave you that great old big pencil with no eraser on it? You know why they did that? They did that so they could see when you made mistakes. Without an eraser, they could see every mistake you made. And then they could work on that mistake and correct it. Guess what? God's watching. And God sees. God understands. And God wants to, he don't want to look, find your problem so he can beat you to death. He wants to see your problem areas in life so he can help you overcome them so you can be stronger, bigger, badder, awesome, or tougher. And you can help somebody else be bigger, badder, awesome, tougher. Amen? God is always something greater there. God wants to do work on you so that you can help work on somebody else. And it's never just an afterthought with God to help you do good. So here's some categories of people. Maybe in here there's a sinner that has no relationship with God. Maybe you have sinned and you have hindered your relationship with God. Maybe sinned against, you have actually, your relationship is hindered with others. You sinned against somebody else. Or maybe you just blew it. I blew it enough I could open up a dynamite factory. Blew it. I mean, pure old possum track, blew it. Amen. You know, recently in traffic court, a man who received an expensive parking ticket testified that an ununiformed policeman had given his okay for the man to park there. The judge asked the man if he would recognize the officer if he ever saw him again, and the man replied, yes, he would. The judge says, good. When you see the officer again, tell him he owes you $157. Next. That man needed a do-over. We need do-overs. I'm so glad, I'm so glad that when I mess up with God, he doesn't hold it over my head the rest of my life, but he gives me an opportunity to keep the slate clean. Wow. You know, there's not very many people in this world to let you keep the slate clean. But our God will let you keep the slate clean. And because of that, repentance is not just a pre-Christian word that you say repentance. You repent, be saved, be baptized, but we get in the family of God. Repentance is important for us too. It's just as important for the Christian as it is for the non-Christian. It's not a pre-Christian word. It is a Christian lifestyle. It keeps our slate clean. Some of you would sleep better tonight if you could just clean your slate. Some of you could eat better today if you would just I didn't say clean your plate. I said clean your slate. Amen. God wants us to keep short accounts with him. So here we go. Here we go. Get ready. That word blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now I want you to substitute happy for blessed. Oh, that's nice. I'm crying and I'm going to be happy. Yeah. My mama, I'd see if my mom and daddy were smiling at me, I thought I was in the clear. I found out that didn't mean a thing. My daddy could take that belt and he could get you from across the room with just a smile. Amen. So watch this. Substitute happy for blessed. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I like this. Blessed are enviable happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Woo! That's powerful. See, but it doesn't sound quite right, does it? Happy are those who are crying. Happy to be envied are those who are actually sick in their stomach from what's going on. See, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How can someone be happy when they're mourning, when they're crying, when they're in sadness? See, happiness depends on what you're crying over and what you're crying about. Now we're starting to bring her in a little bit. Amen. We're coming in for a landing. Get ready. Last week we talked about humility. Humility is the basic foundation of Christianity. Until a man humbles himself, he's never going to go to the foot of the cross. Before he humbles himself, he's never going to ask God into his heart. Before he humbles himself, he's never really going to give it to God. Humility is the first step to happiness. And humility is realizing that you can't fix everything. Y'all say it. I can't fix everything. It means that you don't have to have all the answers. Say, I don't have all the answers. And it means you need God in your life. Say, I need God in my life. Now, don't y'all feel better already? You're even smiling. You look lighter. Amen. Humility is putting God in charge and becoming totally, y'all say totally, totally dependent on God, realizing that he has all the answers. Now, that's the first step. The second step to happiness in your Christian life is repentance. Repentance is realizing that I have a problem in my life that, number one, I can't fix. Number two, God is not pleased with. And number three, is hurting my relationship with him and with others. Wow. So repentance is weeping and mourning over the sin in my life. So happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Good News Bible. So now let me ask you a question. I ask you to start with, has anybody here ever wanted a do-over? Good news. God specializes in do-overs. How many's burned since before you were saved? How many believe before you were saved? Now, here we're going to get into it. We're all friends. We're family. How many's blown it since you've been saved? How many's blown it lately? Amen. God specializes in do-overs. Comfort means they'll be comforted. Comfort means it's two words. It means to call near. Remember, sin separates us from God. Amen? When you are messing up and you're allowing sin in your life, you are separating yourself from God, because God will not be around sin. So you separate yourself from him. But if you confess to him, what happens is now he calls you near. Woo! But in other words, he don't call you near to beat you. He calls you near to help. He calls you near to add salve in that sore. Wow. Thank you, God. Some of us will call somebody to our side and go, they go, I'm sorry I did that. Oh, come here. Oh, come here. Come here. Do it again, won't you? No, that's not God. God calls us near because we've repented. He calls us near. And then he puts his arm around us. And whatever's bloody on us, whatever's causing the problem, he will render help and aid to us to fix the problem. If it's an open wound, he will apply salve of the Holy Spirit, the balm of Gilead, and bring comfort to us. Now you tell me, what other God anywhere does that? Amen? You know, so here we go. Let me talk about this thing. Again, we're talking about do-overs. Here we go. 1 John 1:8 says, you say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need a do-over. I'm a Christian. I've already said I'm sorry. I've repented, and I repented 10 years ago, and that's good enough. Watch this. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Who's John writing to? He was writing to the church. He was not writing to the world. He was writing to the church. The Bible also says that if we're in him, we do not sin, meaning habitually, because we all mess up. You find one person here don't mess up, I'll show you somebody that doesn't need grace of God in their life. We all need the grace because we all mess up. If you've lost your temper and boiled over like that little teapot, hear me shout. That's so sweet, but when that really happens, you may have to go to God and say, God, forgive me, because the tea kettle got a little hot. What I spouted out wasn't good. Or maybe there's whatever thing. Maybe whatever. You God will show you. He'll show you what it is. But I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna go ahead and classify sin for you. There's only two types of sin. Did you know that? Two types. There's the sin of commission. Action. It's when we transgress his law. That's when transgression of law means God said, don't do this, and we do it. God said, I'd rather you not handle the situation this way, and we handle that situation that way. God says, this is not the way it's to be done, and we do it our way anyway. I did it my way. The sin of commission. You say, well, I haven't done a whole lot of them lately, so now I'm clear. Well, I'm getting for you next. Next is the sin of omission. The sin of omission is lack of action. Commission is action. It's doing something you're not supposed to do. It's going against God's law. The sin of omission is knowing to do good, not do it. Matter of fact, I think that's one of the biggest things in the church world today is omission. I don't have time, God. You got to understand, I don't have time. You got to understand, God, you can get somebody else, because I've done that 2 or 3 times. Let somebody else do it. God, I've got more to do than I can handle. Don't throw nothing on my plate. And so what we do is we actually let the sin of omission quietly take us and rock us spiritually asleep. And when the Philistines are upon us, we get up and shake ourselves like Samson and don't even realize that while we were sleeping, our power was taken. So there's a sin of commission. There's a sin of omission. Matter of fact, let me just ask you something. Don't raise your hand. There's a difference in prioritizing. And there's a difference when you just need to say no because somebody's trying to overwork you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God in his word has showed you something to do, or God's even talked to you and you just won't do it. And here, what you got to do is, when that happens, again, the haves and the have-nots, the doers that's done it and those that won't do it, honestly, are on level ground, equal ground. Wow. So now there's three elements of repentance. I know somebody's saying, I wish you'd hurry and get through this thing. I can tell you that my toes, I had to paint my toenails with Armor All when I got off of this one. Get ready. First, repentance requires a U-turn. It involves a U-turn. The Bible tells us to be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Romans 12:2. Oh, I got to hit on myself. Hold it. The first step, I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry, my beautiful wife. Also my sister in the Lord. First repentance involves a U-turn. The first step to repentance is not a change of behavior. Whoa. What? Come on now. God wants me to change my ways. You're going to tell me the first step of repentance is not changing my ways. If all you're doing is just changing your ways without what happens first, it don't matter. The first step of repentance is a change in your thinking. I called my wife the other day, and I actually wanted to be with her, but I couldn't because I had to be somewhere else. And so she said, "Where are you, dear?" I said, "Well, I'm southbound with a northbound attitude." I mean, I'm going to do something. I'm on the way to do it. I'm going to do it happily for the Lord. But, I mean, I'm going south. But I'd rather be going north and just spending time with you, dear. So, I'm southbound with a northbound attitude. If you don't change your thinking, you're going to be southbound with a northbound attitude. Repentance is to think differently. That's what it means, to think differently. It means to change your mind. How many knew that? Repentance means to change your mind. So now watch this. Repentance is thought change. It is a response to Holy Ghost conviction. It leads to a change in one's behavior. But it does not begin with changing behavior. It always begins with changing your mind. And when you change your mind, you can say attitude. How many of you ever told your child, "You're going to clean this room before you go out"? And they go, "I'll clean it." I told DC or Daniel one day, I said, "Just sit down, please." "But Dad, I got to go." I said, "Sit down." "But Dad, I got to." I said, "Sit down." And they're sitting like this. And I said, "What's wrong?" They said, "I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside." If you don't change your attitude, it don't matter which way you go, because it's going to draw you right back. So it's important. Thought change is number one in response to Holy Ghost conviction through God's Spirit and through His Word. Then it leads to a change in one's behavior, but it does not begin with behavior change. It begins with thinking change. Y'all say this with me. God help my stinking thinking. Oh, doesn't it feel good to say that? Y'all say it together. One more time. Say, "God, help my stinking thinking." Amen. Sometimes you don't even realize. You don't realize somebody sitting beside you, you're kind of going. You know why? It's because they're smelling that attitude. So watch. Romans 12 and 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." The Amplified verse says, "Be not conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after, adapted to its external superficial customs. But be you transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and a new attitude." Yeah, there it goes, there's that attitude thing. "So that you may prove for yourselves what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." So number one, y'all say it. Repentance requires a U-turn. Y'all are awesome. Amen. So first, U-turn. I only got 17 of these, so just get, no. There's only three. Y'all need to repent right now. Some of you are thinking bad when I said there were 17 of them. Number two, not only does it require a U-turn, repentance involves a confession. Now, I'm not talking about setting up a confession booth in here. And y'all got to come in here and do a confession to me. No. One girl would not get saved. I talked to her for over a year. She would not release herself into God's hands and would not humble herself to pray. And I finally said one day, she said, "I got to be saved." And I said, "That's what I've been telling you." She says, "But I can't." I said, "Why can't you?" She says, "Because I can't get up in front of the church and tell them every sin I've ever did. I'd be so embarrassed." And I said, "You don't have to get in front of the church and categorize and list every sin you ever committed." I said, "You ain't sinned against me. You sinned against the Father. He's the one that wants. He already knows. He's already been keeping up with him." So if you go to him and say, "God, I blew it, and here it is. Tell me what to do." Hey, praise God. Isn't it awesome? So watch this now. In Psalm 51, what's that about? How many know what that Psalm 51 is about? It's after David had blown it.
He had got Uriah out of the battle because he had been with Bathsheba when he shouldn't have been. And so he got Uriah out of the battle. They made him sleep with Bathsheba because he found out Bathsheba was pregnant from what he had done. And so now he's going to try to get Uriah to do this thing, say it's his child. He says, I'm not going to do this. I'm a good soldier. I'm going to sleep out in the yard. And he did. So he has him put in the front of the battle. In front of the battle, he gets killed. So David, he got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And so when Nathan comes to David and starts telling about the little ewe lamb, about there's a man that had a little ewe lamb that he loved him. He ate at his table. This rich man had all these sheep. But somebody came to visit. And when he came to visit, instead of giving him one of his many sheep, he took that man's little ewe lamb. And he offered that to the traveler, to his friend. And David said, who is this man? He will die for this. And Nathan said, it's you, Bubba. That's possum track dog. It's you, Bubba. And he said, what do you mean me? He said, that's what you did. And so David, here he goes. Psalm 51 is about his confession before God. And this is the part I'm going to read tonight, just this part right here today. God, you're the one I violated, and you've seen it all. Seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. Wow. Yes, he blew it. But it took a man to pray that prayer. Or a woman, a mighty man, pray that prayer. God, you've seen it. You've got it. You've got a whole list of it. I'm bringing it before you, or whatever you want to do with it, I'm going to take it. You see, when we have sinned, we should first feel guilty. How many feels guilty when you sin? Maybe not immediately, but once the Holy Ghost starts talking to you. Then we mourn over our sin, then we confess our sin. Watch this. I like this. I like these three little words there. Did I even put them up there? Yeah. Three little words. Feel guilty. I'm in distress because I made a mess and I need to confess. Y'all want to say that with me quickly? I'll say it three times real fast. I'm in distress because I made a mess and I need to confess. Somebody tried it. Come on, y'all. I'm in distress because I made a mess and I need to confess. When you do that, God says, I'm listening. He's waiting. Matter of fact, that's what he wants to hear. He's not waiting. You think you're climbing up the ladder to get to him. He wants to take your fingers and pick your fingers up and watch you fall. No. He wants to reach down and help you. He left the 99 and went to the one. God loves you. Sometimes it's not some big old powerful sin you went out and done drugs. Sometimes you just had a bad thought about something and you went ahead and went through with it, or you did something you know you shouldn't have done, and yet you're a Christian and you're in distress because you made the mess. God says when you're in distress because you made a mess, all you got to do is confess. Not to me, to him. Amen. My collar is not on backwards. So watch. If we confess our sins, he's talking to the church. He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That's powerful. Come on, that's powerful. He'll wipe the slate clean. Praise God. What kind of deal is that? I get in trouble. He sends his son to pay for it. And I still get in trouble again. And he says, okay, my son's already paid for it. You said you done it. I'm going to wipe it clean. Wow. That's awesome. So now, number three. I told you there were 17, but there's only three. Okay. Not only does it require a U-turn, and not only does it require confession, but now it requires us to depend on the grace of God. Thank God for his grace. Woo! Y'all, somebody say, thank God for grace. Thank God for his grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not from works, so no one can boast. Y'all read that with me. I want y'all to get this in your spirit. I want you to understand this. This isn't a beat you down sermon. This is a lift you up sermon. Ready? For grace you are saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not for work, so that no one can boast. Wow, that is awesome! When the guys are putting Jesus up on the cross, he said, forgive them, Lord, or Father, for they don't even understand what they're doing.
if he's going to do that to the ones that nailed him on the cross physically, won't he do it to us who have nails jingling in our pockets sometimes? Okay, so get ready. So third, repentance involves depending on the grace of God. Repentance involves a U-turn, a confession, depending on the grace of God, and changing behavior. Now, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That sounds a whole lot better, don't it? Makes a whole lot more sense. Won't you be happy when your slate's wiped clean? God says that, you know, it's kind of like this. If somebody comes up to me and hits me and walks off and says, as he's running away, forgive me. Honestly, I don't even feel that. But somebody comes up and runs over me, hits me, but they didn't mean to, and they said, look, I'm so sorry. Man, I am really sorry. Is there something I can do to make it up to you? I said, no, that's fine. You're all right. Go ahead. Everything's cool. The first one, the slate stayed dirty. The second one, the slate was cleaned because there was an attitude change. Sometimes people hurt you, don't even mean to. When they realize that they've hurt you, they come back to you and they ask forgiveness because now their attitude has changed. They understand. Darryl Boyd told me something yesterday about his daddy. Like I was telling you, when I was a teenager, I really was scared of him because I found out why I was scared of him. Pam said that he hated every boy in the neighborhood. That was the age of his daughter. He liked the young ones, and he liked the older ones, but the ones that were the age of his daughter, he didn't like. And me and my brothers were the age of his daughter. And all the guys I hung around with, that's why. He just tried to keep us scared. How you doing, Mr. Porter? And I do the same thing at times when somebody's around my daughter. Fellas, come on, help me out. Okay, thank you. But you know what? You know what he told me? He said when he was coming up, there was times he resented his dad when he was getting that spanking. He resented his dad when his dad was making him do something he didn't want to do. He said, but when he woke up, he said he had the utmost respect for his dad. The utmost respect for his dad. It's like the outside the Baptist church, the boy was walking by with a wagon full of puppies. They had just been born. He was proud of those little puppies. He walked by the Baptist preacher, and the preacher said, what kind of puppies you got there, son? He said, they're Baptist puppies. He said, that's cool. About 6 weeks later, he walks by, and the puppies come by, and he says, let me look at them Baptist puppies. He said, they ain't Baptist anymore. He said, what are they? He said, they're Pentecostal. He said, what happened? He said, their eyes got open. Yeah, go ahead, that's all right. All right. So Darryl told me, said after his eyes got open, he had the utmost respect for his dad. Till his dying day, he had the utmost respect because he saw the love that his dad had for him. You see, God has more love for you than you could ever imagine. I love all my kids, I love my wife, and I try my best to show them all that I love them. I love y'all. I try to do all I can to show you I love you. But you know what? My love is nothing in comparison to my Father's love. And God wants us, if we're sinners, he wants us to repent and get on in the family. And if we're in the family and we're having problems with stuff, or we're just sometimes get a little, you know, bent out of shape. I know none of y'all have ever been bent out of shape, but I have. Yeah, I have to admit, one time a guy called Bethany, and Daniel had already told me, said, you better keep an eye on him, Dad. He's honestly, he's in some bad stuff. And I said, okay, thank you, son. And the boy called the house, and he's talking. He says, is Bethany there? And I handed the phone, and I had it kind of like this, and I said, is that boy that sounds like a girl?
He went, "Yes, sir." I said, "You tell him I got a shovel and a shotgun in a big backyard. Nobody will ever miss him. And I ain't afraid to go back to prison." And I heard this. Yeah, dads can get it. But you know, we all do things that we shouldn't. But I thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So if we bring our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to cleanse us and let us start fresh. Matter of fact, here's what I wrote. I said, "Lord, give me some words to let them know what it's like to have a repentant lifestyle." Every Christian here should have a repentant lifestyle. You should keep your slate as clean as possible. Keep the list as short as possible. Go to God. When you mess up and say, "God, I did it again." How many's ever said, "God, I hate to ask you because I told you yesterday I wouldn't do it again"? I can just see this in heaven. I honestly can see this in heaven. "God, forgive me. I won't do it again." He goes, yeah, right. So watch. When we live a repentant lifestyle, first there's alignment. Because repentance, all that means is when you're changing your mind, it also means to line up with God's word, to line up with His confession. My confession is lined up with His confession. So it's alignment. Okay, God, I'm lining up with you. Yes, I blew it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to clean my slate. But not only is it an alignment, there's an atonement, which means at one again. How many's ever been upset with somebody, and as soon as y'all said, "We're sorry," you were at one again? Atonement. At one again. The Bible tells us very plainly that God is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He'll forgive us and He'll cleanse us from whatever we've done wrong. So if I align myself with God, and then once I align myself with God and say, "Yes, God, you're right, I'm wrong," then there's the at one again. Because I really hate not being at one with Him. I don't like being not at one with anybody, actually. I love being at one with my family, at one with y'all, at one with my wife. At one meaning that we're together. Our minds are in the right direction. We're going in the right direction. We may not see everything eye to eye, but we're going in the right direction. The same direction. Okay, so there's alignment. Then there's the atonement. At one again. And what's so cool is He offers assistance. That's bad. You sin against Him, and then He offers assistance to fix it. Wow, you can't beat that. How many of you think you're riding down the road and you're going 75 and a 55, State Patrolman stops you and says, "You know, you're going 75 and a 55, you go, "I'm sorry, officer. You know, I did see that sign. I'm agreeing with you. I was going 75 and a 55. Can you see him?" "So, okay, I'm going to write this ticket, and I'm going to put it in my pocket, and I'll go pay it for you." Anybody seen that one? If you see that, let me know who took your... That's the same one that an officer was in the plain clothes and said he told me I could park here. Okay. God offers assistance. He knows you can't fix it. So He says, "I'll fix it." Then, look. So, how much more shall the blood of Christ, to the eternal Spirit who offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? So now, He's not only offered assistance, He even helps change your attitude. Wow, you can't get this kind of warranty from General Electric, Ford, Chrysler, GE, or I just said General Electric, GE, you can't get it from Toyota. Everywhere you look, they got recalls these days. They won't even tell you about the recall till they get stuck. And God says, if you'll get in alignment with me, we will get one again, because I'm going to take care of it, wash it in the blood again. I'm going to offer you assistance. I'm going to help you. And then I'm going to help you with your attitude. And once your attitude gets straight, guess what comes in there? Action. 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 Therefore, I mean, justified by faith, we had the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Or, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous,
and given the right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. How many here would like to have some good old peace? How'd you like to have some power? How would you like to set a good example? Then you just have to, look, what you do is, when you mess up, you go to God and you say, God, I need you. Go ahead and just let it start playing, sister, dear, my beautiful wife, sister, dear. When we mess up, okay. When we mess up, he said, well, it's too late. It's too late. You should have seen what I did. You should have heard how I talked yesterday.
All of your regrets just running down your face. You think you finally crossed the line. You feel you sealed your fate. It's never too late.
It's never too late to go to God with this.
It's hard to hide the pain of life. It's a losing game that you've played too long. You listen to the voice of pride that says you're too far gone.
Thank God for grace. Thank Him for grace. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, church. Praise Him, church. There's nothing more powerful than a man or woman on their knees. Nothing more powerful. The devil hates it. Hell declares that we shouldn't. But praise God, there's nothing more powerful than a man on his knees. I want you right now to come on up. Come on up. You may just be sitting here and the devil told you what you did was too bad. What you did, you'll never get over. It is a lie from hell. Praise the Lamb of God. Satan may say you're stuck in it. You're not getting out of it. Praise God. Greater is grace. Greater is grace. Greater is grace than anything Satan's got. Everybody that will. I just want you to come up and pray. Just come up and pray. Come on, pray. There's nothing more powerful than a man or woman on their knees before God. Nothing more powerful. You want peace? You want power? You want freedom? Today is the day. Today is the day. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Praise the Lamb of God. Maybe you've got another reason, but come on. God is awesome. He loves you. He loves you. Not only does he see the problem, but he brings the remedy. He brings the remedy. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Yes. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 Yes. Yes, God. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes. Yes, I love you, Father. I praise your name. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. It's never too late. It's never too late. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Glory. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. God will call you near and apply salve into hurt. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He calls you near and applies salve to the hurt. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank you for the salve, God. Thank you for the salve. Thank you for the call. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Glory. 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 You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. I thank you, God. I thank you that you wipe the slate clean every day. I thank you, God, that you help us to keep our list short. Thank you, Father. God, I want peace. I want power. I want to set a good example. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory. 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 Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. I thank Him. I thank Him. I thank Him. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just raise your hands and just thank you.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Go ahead. I give it to you, Lord. I give you my soul. I give everything to you, Lord. We did him wrong. And he fixes it. He pays the ticket. And he sets us free. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for power. I thank you for peace. I thank you, God. Nothing's coming our way that you're not going to be able to help us with. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Don't you feel good? Feel like, you know, talk about zest. You're not clean till you're zest fully clean. Well, you know what? Zest ain't got nothing on this. That's right. That's right. Our Father loves us. Praise the Lamb of God. Our Father loves us. Come on up here, my beautiful wife, bride, sister in the Lord. If you got a pint to spare, they're taking it next door. I had my hat says give blood, Jesus did, and I forgot, left it at the house. But if you got extra blood lying around anywhere, like inside, they'd rather take it from the inside. Just don't bring some. Well, I happen to run across, you know, roadkill. Yeah, not somebody else's. Yeah, especially that. It's got to be yours. They'd rather have it living. But if you got some spare time and got spare blood, and we don't have service tonight, everybody can come and give. You can sign up. If you've already signed up, you got an appointment. Also, how many give doubles? If you give doubles, they got a double machine over there today. So you get double for your trouble. You give double for your trouble. Amen. So you can give singles or you can give doubles. And I give doubles all the time, and honestly, it kind of scares you to think somebody giving two pints, but they put stuff back in you. It's all right. Yeah, they put all kinds of stuff in you. Man, you'd be turning. And you get two brownies instead of one. Your eyeballs get cold. You get a funny feeling in your lips. And you get a funny taste in the back of your mouth from all that stuff they put in you, but that's okay. And you only walk backwards for about a week. It's okay. Everybody wants to get doubles now, don't you? Right, okay, but honestly, it's gonna be awesome. Amen. Awesome. Brother Steve, you just miss us in prayer, please.